Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And welcome once again to this Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. And as Ganesh mentioned, after Vedam, it is time now for bhajans. And today being the last day of Ramadan, today being Eid al-Fitr, we will learn a bhajan which adores the Lord in its various forms and also as the one who has various relationships with each one of us, as a mother, as a father, as a beloved, as a friend, as a guru. How we relate to the Lord matters so much to us, but to Him, it doesn't actually. He is the same. He is the same universal consciousness, the same primordial one without the beginning, without the end, the source of all powers. How we relate to Him matters to us, matters to our faith, and it matters to what it does to us. I remember conversing with a former student of Baba's university who is now in Middle East, and he started narrating how he was drawn to Bhagwan. As a youngster, he was used to Western music, sports and all those things that youngsters are interested in, youngsters indulge in. And it was one of those days when his mother requested him to come for Akhanda Bhajan. His mother had started going for bhajans, but he was not. And his mother was thinking how to persuade him to come. So she goes to his room and says, Gautam, will you do something for me today? And he says, what? And mother says, can you come for bhajans? And he immediately replies, mother, you know, I'm a youngster. How can you ask me to come for bhajans and sit for things like this? Mother says, please, for my sake, can you come once? And he says, okay, but on one condition. The car keys should be with me. I will go, but if at any point in time I don't feel interested, I should have the freedom to return at my own will. Mother says, fine. And so, he goes for bhajans. And he was telling me that was a turning point in his life. He sat there listening to the bhajans for 2.5 hours. He had thought that he will sit for 5-10 minutes and come back. He says, I don't know what happened to me. The feeling of peace that I experienced that day was something that I had never experienced before. As a youngster, I had never experienced that sort of calmness and stillness within me. And he says, that's what hooked me to bhajans. And slowly, he was, of course, hooked to Swami. And he came to stay at his lotus feet for 20 years after that. So that is the power of bhajans. That is the power of what devotional music can do to us. It can convert even a heart made of stone into butter. It can make it porous so that God's love can flow through us. Let us harness the power of bhajans. That is why Swami always stressed on bhajans. And dear listeners, that is the reason why we are having this program. Let us learn to sing bhajans with as little flaws as possible and with as much devotion as possible. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is already 6:54. Let us think of Bhagwan and start today's bhajan classroom.
Let us first offer our most loving and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of the Lord for having blessed us with this opportunity of loving Him, of knowing Him and singing for Him. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we may never ever miss to feel Your presence in every moment of our lives. With this prayer, let's move on. And dear listeners, welcome to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We are going to learn today a Hindi bhajan, and the first line goes like this.
भुवन बांधवा साई भगवान।
So So this is a beautiful bhajan adoring Bhagwan Baba as the divinity who is worshipped by people of different religions and faiths. And as always, we will learn first the lyrics of the bhajan and then we'll move on to the raga, the tala, the meaning of every word, as well as in the end a short reflection of a few members of the Prashanti Bhajan group who have had the chance of personal interaction with Bhagwan on this subject of Sai Bhajans. So let's begin now with the lyrics.
Bhuvana Bandhava Sai Bhagavan Mata Pita Bandhu Sakha Tum Ho Bhagavan Ishwar Bhi Tum Ho Allah Nanak Tum Ho प्रभु येशु तुम हो महावीर तुम हो बुद्ध देव तुम हो मेरे प्राण नाथ तुम हो साई राम साई राम.
So the lyrics done, let's move on now to learn how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Brother Anirudh will follow Ravi after every line. Dear listeners, you too please join Anirudh and get a feel of the flow of this bhajan.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C Pancham.
Bhuvana Bandhava Sai Bhagavan Bhuvana Bandhava Sai Bhagavan
Bhuvana Bandhava Sai Bhagavan
Bhuvana Bandhava Sai Bhagavan
Mata Pita Bandhu Sakha Tum Ho 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 Bhagavan
Ishwar Bhi Tum ho अल्लाह नानक तुम हो
ईश्वर भी तुम हो अल्लाह नानक तुम हो
ईश्वर भी तुम हो अल्लाह नानक तुम हो
ईश्वर भी तुम हो अल्लाह नानक तुम हो
प्रभु येशु तुम हो महावीर 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 तुम हो
बुद्ध देव तुम हो मेरे प्राण नाथ तुम हो
बुद्ध देव तुम हो, मेरे प्राणनाथ तुम हो।
बुद्ध देव तुम हो, मेरे प्राणनाथ तुम हो।
बुद्ध देव तुम हो, मेरे प्राणनाथ तुम हो।
साई राम, साई राम,
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 साई राम, साई राम।
भुवन बांधवा साई भगवान।
So that was the tune of the bhajan in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now let's learn a little more about the swaras which make this bhajan. And Anirudh is here with us in the studios to explain to us the raga of this bhajan. Welcome Anirudh to this program.
Thank you, Vishu.
So tell us, what is the composition of this bhajan?
This bhajan is based on the raga Sohini.
Okay.
In Hindustani classical music. And in Carnatic, we call it Hamsanandi.
Hamsanandi.
Yeah. The Arohana and Avarohana of the rag go like this.
Sa re ga ma dha ni sa.
In this raga we have
Re
Komal Re
Ga
Shuddha,
yeah.
Ma Ma is Tivra Ma,
yes.
No Pancham
Dha
Dha is Shuddha
Ni
Shuddhni
Sa Sa Ni Da Ma Ga Re Sa.
Pancham, you have Ma Tivra and Re Komal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Anirudh, please go ahead and do a small alap.
Definitely.
That it's a bhajan which is so good in expressing the feeling of longing, and we could really feel that.
Yes.
Yes. Wonderful. So let's proceed with this bhajan, Anirudh. Can we do the swaras for every line?
Sure.
And as you sing, I and Arvind Sai will follow every line.
Sure.
Bhuvan Bandhava Sai Bhagavan Gagamadani Sani Sani Dai Nidamagaga Madamagaga
Gagamadani Sani Sani Dai Nidamagaga Madamagaga
माता पिता बंधु सखा तुम हो भगवान गागा मदमा गागरे निधारे गरिसा
गागा मदमा गागरे निधारे गरिसा
ईश्वर ही तुम हो अल्लाह नानक तुम हो धा मदनी निनि दनि सानि द
धा मदनी निनि दनि सानि द
प्रभु येशु तुम हो महावीर तुम हो दनिस गरि गगन गरि मादरिसा
दनिस गरि गगन गरि
बुद्ध देव तुम हो मेरे प्राणनाथ तुम हो सांसने दनि द मग ग मग मग रे
सांसने दनि द मग ग मग मग रे सा
नाउ इन द सेकंड स्पीड वी सिंग
Sai Ram.
So the swaras for that part will do, no?
Yeah, sure.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Dhari Re, Dhari Sa,
Dhari Dhari Sa.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Gama Madhani Da Sai Nirisa,
Gama Madhani Da Sai Nirisa.
Oh, that is good. Thank you very much, Anirudh. And please tell us some more bhajans based on this raga.
I don't know whether many bhajans are composed in this raga.
Yeah.
But a few of them which come to my mind right now is
Mrityunjayaya Namah.
Yes.
That one and
Shiva 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 Shivaya Namah. Hara 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 Haraya Namah.
Okay, as you mentioned, probably there are not many bhajans, but there are a few bhajans definitely that we are familiar with.
And there is a very popular song composed by Shri Papanasam Shivan.
Okay.
Which starts, Shri Nivas Tiruvinkata Mudaya Jaya Govinda Mukundananda
श्रीनिवास तिरुवेंकटमुदया
Oh, wonderful. Definitely not a very easy raga to sing.
Yeah, this is
a because you have a Tivra Ma and a Komal Re and Pa is not there. But I think with practice, definitely we can attempt to sing this bhajan.
Sure.
And the beat of this bhajan, Anirudh?
This bhajan is composed in 6 beat.
Yes.
I think last time also we had a...
Yes, we had one 6-beat bhajan.
Prema Mudita.
Yes.
So the count is 1, 2, 3.
Yes, I think that explains the raga and the tala. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sairam.
So now that we know the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala, let us get into the most important aspect, the bhava, or the feeling with which we must sing this bhajan. Baba always stressed that the feeling with which we render a bhajan to the Lord is more important than the technical details. In fact, both are important, but the feeling is what is the most critical aspect. And to imbibe this bhava, to sing with a heart full of devotion, we must understand the meaning of every word in every bhajan that we sing. So let's take each line of this bhajan. We begin with the first line.
Bhuvana Bandhava Sai Bhagavan.
The first word here is Bhuvana, meaning the world. The second word, Bandhava, literally means a well-wisher. It comes from bandhan, which means bond, referring to the bond of affection that well-wishers have for us. The third word is Sai, referring to our beloved mother Sai. The last word is Bhagavan, literally meaning God. Baba once said, Bha stands for Srishti or creation, Ga stands for Sthiti or protection, and Va for Nayam or emergence, dissolution. Therefore, the one who holds all these three ultimate powers, creation, protection and dissolution, is Bhagavan. And Swami once revealed, this indeed is the subtle reality of my person. In the Satya Sai Ashtotra Shatanamavali, that is the 108 names adoring the Lord, one name says Om Shri Sai Loka Bandhavaya Namaha. That is, it extols our Lord as the well-wisher of the entire world. In fact, expounding on this, Professor Kasturi very beautifully writes, he says, Bandhu is derived from bandham or bond or attachment or affection, and Baba has declared that whereas your own mother and father are attached to you through nirbandham, that is compulsory inescapable obligation, whenever in a family a relationship is forged, it is called nirbandham. But Swami said, I am attached to you through sambandham. That is, it is a pleasant and willingly undertaken obligation. It is a pleasant relationship. It is not a compulsory relationship. It is a sambandham. It is not nirbandham. Nirbandham is a word used in many Indian languages. So, Baba is a more affectionate mother and more discriminating father than our own parents can ever be. He declared that he came down to guide humanity away from the path of unrighteousness. And Swami said, wickedness is now infecting every human heart. Therefore, I came to cleanse mankind of this evil. And how is he doing it? Through love. Swami said, I have to draw them to me and teach them through love to take the right path. That is why he is the true bandhu, the true friend who always will do what is good for us. He is the true kith and kin of not only you and me but of the entire world. Loka Bandhava. Therefore in this line, Bhuvana Bandhava Sai Bhagavan, we hail Lord Sai as the well-wisher of all beings in this world, the supreme master who is responsible for creation, for sustenance and the final dissolution of this universe. Let's move on to the second line.
Mata Pita Bandhu Sakha Tum Ho Bhagavan.
First word is Mata, meaning mother. Pita is the second word. Bandhu, which we discussed, is the third word, which means relation. The fourth word is Sakha, meaning a friend. Fifth word is Tum, meaning you. And the sixth word is Ho, meaning are. and the last word is Bhagavan. Professor Kasturi says that this word means he who has the following six potencies in full measure. Aishwaryam, that is greatness, might, the attributes of omnipotence, omnipresence and omniscience. The second is Dharma, that is virtue, righteousness, equity, impartiality, propriety. Yashas is the third quality, fame, reputation, splendor. Shri is the fourth attribute of the divine, prosperity, plenty, majesty, dignity, grace, luster. Jnana, that is the fifth attribute of the meaning of the word Bhagavan, wisdom, intelligence. And the last attribute of the divine is Vairagya, that is detachment, tranquility, balance. So all these six constitute the word Bhagavan, Aishwaryam, Dharma, Yashas, Shri, Jnana and Vairagya. This reminds me of a beautiful incident. Natesh Shankar Shetty is an alumnus of Bhagwan's University. He did his MBA here in Prashantanilayam in 2008. He completed in 2010. During Bhagwan's 80th birthday celebrations, Natesh was fortunate to be seated close to the dais in the Hillview Stadium. Even as he felt grateful for this blessing, when he looked at Swami, he felt that Swami was not enjoying the show, and as if to resonate this, it started raining and the musicians who had come to perform as well as the crowds got drenched in that rain, and Swami too looked disinterested. Now this made Natesh reflect and ponder, and he felt that Bhagwan's real birthday would be when we feel Him and cherish Him in our hearts. And he felt that would be our true birthday too. That is not only His birthday, but that is also our birthday. And even as he had this thought, a voice inside him told him that he should not suddenly become a renunciant and stop celebrating this whole event, 80th birthday celebrations, just because Swami looked physically a little dull on that morning. And this voice inside him convinced him that whatever be the case, one's birthday is that day when all the loved ones, one's family, friends and relatives call and wish and express their love. That is one's true birthday. So as months went by, he waited for his birthday to arrive just to see, you know, who wished him on that day, because he felt that those were the people who truly loved him and cared for him. And it was the first day of Dasara celebrations in October, and Gram Seva was about to begin that day. He got up early in the morning and expected people to come rushing to him and wish him, but strangely no one did that. So he consoled himself thinking that his friends had probably planned a surprise party for him later that day. And just then a senior came to him and said that the warden actually was looking for him. So Natesh went to meet the warden, expecting that somebody would have told the warden sir that it was his birthday and that sir would give him some special prasadam. Instead, he was actually shocked because warden sir asked him if he was ready to give a speech in the mandir as the Prashanti Vidyan Mahasabha was going on. Now Natesh told warden that he was not at all ready for a speech, he should be excused that year. But sir told him that his name has already been shortlisted and approved, and the maximum that could be done was to push his talk towards the end of the week. Anyway, he told Natesh, you go ahead for the Gram Seva, we will think what can be done. So Natesh felt a little relieved, but that same day around 1 PM when he was there in the villages doing Gram Seva, some boy came to him and said, warden sir has come all the way from Parthi on his bike looking for him. So now Natesh was really shocked, because warden sir told him that Swami wanted him to speak at 3 PM that same afternoon. There was no time to think, so Natesh just got into the vehicle that was going to the hostel, reached the hostel. His mind was numb. He tried to gather some points and incidents that he could share to that audience that evening. He took a help of few seniors who were regular speakers, and when he went for darshan, he was totally unprepared. His turn was to come after a teacher spoke, and Natesh knew that he was actually representing the whole student community, and he was feeling so scared because he was not at all in a condition. He was not at all mentally in a condition to deliver a good speech. So finally, when his turn came, he went up to Swami and offered Bhagwan a rose, and he prayed, Swami, please speak through me, I am not at all prepared. Swami simply looked into his eyes mischievously and said, Nenu chusukuntanu, you go, I will look after. And Natesh that evening spoke for the next 20 minutes, and when he was about to conclude,
He felt that he should thank Swami for giving him that opportunity to speak on his birthday. And now he looked at Swami nervously, but Swami was all in a bright smile. There was a beautiful smile dancing on his lips, and he called Natesh to his side, and Swami patted his cheek and materialized a beautiful ring for him. And then when Bhagwan was putting it on his finger, Swami said, "Idi mi gift, chudu, perfect fit. See, this is your gift. See, it is perfect fit." It was almost as if Swami was telling everyone that that day was Natesh's birthday and he was gifting him with such a lovely presentation. And Natesh tried to seek pardon for not doing a very good job with his speech, but Swami cut him off, saying that he should not have such thoughts at all on such a happy day. And then Swami said, "I am so happy. You also be happy." And after Swami left the dais, so many people came to him and they wished him, and wishes poured in for the next 4 days about his speech and about his birthday. And later when Natesh thought about it, he remembered that Swami in fact had been the first person to have wished him that day. He later came to know that even his parents had not been able to get through the telephone line that day to wish him. They were living abroad. And it is only then he realized that if there is one person who always truly cares for us, loves for us unconditionally, it is God and God alone. And this is what is conveyed in this line: Mata Pita Bandhu Sakha Tumaho Bhagavan. We glorify the Lord who is the mother, our father, our well-wisher, our friend, everything rolled into one. Let's move on to the third line.
ईश्वर भी तुम हो अल्लाह नानक तुम हो
ईश्वर मीन्स लॉर्ड इट इज ऑल्सो अनदर नेम ऑफ लॉर्ड शिवा बाबा सेज दैट द नेम ईश्वर मीन्स द वन हु इज द रिपोजिटरी ऑफ ऑल रिसोर्सेस एसेंशियल फॉर प्रॉस्पेरिटी सकल ऐश्वर्य दाता द सेकेंड वर्ड इज भी meaning also. We already know the phrase Tumahu, which occurs twice in this line. The fifth word is Allah. Bhagwan explains that in the word Allah, A stands for Atma or the eternal soul, La stands for lion or merging. Thus invoking Allah signifies merging in the Atma or the eternal soul or divinity. The sixth word is Nanak, referring to Guru Nanak, the first among the 10 gurus responsible for founding the Sikh religion. Nanak comes from Na and Anak, meaning nothing but one. This is the message that Guru Nanak preached all his life. There is only one God, Ek Omkar. Dr. S.K. Upadhyay is an ophthalmologist by profession and is from the United Kingdom. He has conducted innumerable free medical camps in India and abroad, restoring vision to thousands of poor people through surgery. He has received training under Professor Eric Arnott, who is credited to have propelled European ophthalmology into modern cataract surgery. So he's a very accomplished doctor, and he narrates an amazing incident that happened in a medical camp in Guyana in West Indies. During the camp, one of the volunteers brought a desperate man with his 8-year-old daughter who had disfigurement of one eye due to phthisis, that is shrinkage of the eye because of tuberculosis. Now, because of how she looked, this little daughter stopped going to school and mixing with other children. The worried father prayed desperately for help and also tried locally in many medical centers and hospitals but found no help. It came to a point when he was so devastated, he started losing faith in God. It was then that he was approached by a Sai volunteer and invited to the medical camp. Dr. Upadhyay examined the child and found that it was possible to fit a cosmetic prosthetic device and improve the child's look. Now, hearing this, the father's face lit up, but when the doctor told him that unfortunately he did not have the device with him at that point in time, and even if he had, it may not match with the other eye or fit properly with the other eye because it was a made-to-order device and therefore it cannot be done immediately. Now, the father became very sad. He almost started crying and lamenting, "I know there is no one to help us, even God has turned away from us." Because everywhere he went, there was this wall which stood between his daughter and his daughter's happiness.
Dr. Upadhyaya was moved and he prayed to Bhagwan to help the father so that he doesn't lose faith in God. And Dr. Upadhyaya then asked the father to allow him to take the daughter's picture so that he could order the right device. Reluctantly, the father allowed him to do so, and now Dr. Upadhyaya reached into his bag for the camera. As he was taking the camera out from his bag, a small box fell on the floor and Dr. Upadhyaya picked it up. Since he used the same bag for the camera almost every day, he was surprised. He did not remember seeing it earlier. And now he opened the box curiously, and the next instant he was simply amazed. He could not believe his eyes. There was a prosthetic device of just the right size for the correct side of the face and matching with the girl's other eye. It's absolutely impossible. Dr. Upadhyaya later said, "This cannot be a coincidence because everything we carry is carefully documented because of customs clearance." All I could do at that point is just thank Swami for his timely help yet again. Of course, the rest was simple. The prosthetic device fitted perfectly into the face of that little daughter. And when the doctor finally handed over the mirror to the little girl, she did not just smile. Tears started rolling down from her eyes and from the eyes of her father. The father knelt down in the clinic and said, "Ya Allah, forgive me for saying all those things I have said in this last few days. I lost faith in you. Please forgive me." And then he grabbed Dr. Upadhyaya's hand and wanted to thank him. But the doctor, the good doctor, pointed Swami's picture and told him that he should thank Swami for the Lord's divine fast and delivery system. The father then bowed down in front of Swami's picture and said, "Thank you, Swami, for restoring my faith in God again." Well, that is the benevolent Lord who responds to the prayer emanating from a sincere heart, and it doesn't have to be who you are or which religion you belong to. Ishwar bhi tum ho, Allah Nanak tum ho. We adore the one God by various names, Ishwar, Allah and Nanak. Let's move on to the fourth line.
प्रभु येशु तुम हो महावीर तुम हो
Here the first word is Prabhu, meaning Lord or Master. The second word is Ishu, referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The phrase Tumho occurs twice in this line too. The fifth word is Mahavir, the founder of Jainism. His name can be split into Maha, meaning great, and Veera, meaning the brave one. Baba explains that he was called Mahavira because he was able to control all his senses and become a Jina. That is a term used by the Jains, which means victor, the one who has mastered one's senses. So in this line, Prabhu Yeshu Tumho, Mahavir Tumho, we call out to the divine master who responds to the names Yeshu, Mahavira, to Prabhu. Let's move on to the next line.
बुद्ध देव तुम हो मेरे प्राण नाथ तुम हो
बुद्ध देव comes from Buddha, referring to Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, and Dev meaning the Lord. तुम हो again occurs in this line. मेरे means my. The fifth word is प्राण, meaning life force. नाथ is the sixth word, meaning Lord. Thus the phrase Prananath means the Lord of all life. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna declares that he is the Prana or the life force in all beings. Therefore, in this line, Buddha Deva Tumho, Mere Prananath Tumho, we adore the Lord who incarnated as Buddha, who is verily the life force in all beings in this universe. And now we move on to the last line, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, the most potent confluence of two words, Sai and Ram, which can clean and cleanse our inner selves and outer selves. So with that, dear listeners, we are done with getting a glimpse of the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, keeping the Lord in our mind's eye, let's proceed listening to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir.
माता पिता बंधु सखा तुम हो भगवान ईश्वर भी तुम हो भल्या नानक तुम हो
part of this program, let's listen to a small extract of a presentation made by Ravi Kumar, Siddharth and Amay during the National Bhajan Workshop held in Vrindavan in Bhagwan's Ashram in Bangalore in June 2013.
Like in any other form of sadhana that we may do, when we start off on that path of sadhana, we take our baby steps. So when we are taking our baby steps in that particular path, it is obviously very helpful to us when we have people whom we can rely on, whom we can have support on. So when we have this community singing, we all join. When we start singing bhajans, we have probably attended a bhajan session, sat behind and followed those bhajans. We have taken the support of the whole group. And then we grow. As we grow, finally we become a lead singer. But for those baby steps, we have to take the support of all the people who are there along with us in the community. And in fact, that's the beauty of community singing. Even if you don't have that bhavam, somebody else singing can get that bhavam into us. No other form of sadhana can get you that. Means somebody else meditation cannot help you. Somebody else yoga or pranayam or his breathing techniques cannot help you. But guess what? In bhajans, somebody else bhavam can evoke, can rise your consciousness to that level. That is the power of community singing. That is why we need to be in a community. At the beginning, those first few baby steps, we need that support. That's the example that Swami gives.
Coming back to this whole movement, the bhakti movement that you mentioned. Now, you made a very significant point about the bhakti movement, because in Indian history, the bhakti movement gained momentum at a very crucial point in our history. It was Hinduism, Vedic culture was on the decline for various reasons, and these saints came up with this bhakti movement to revive that. Now, we felt in the course of our discussion that if you just see this bhakti movement and when it started and how it kept continuing, it reached a climax. All their prayers, they reached one point, and that point is Sai Bhajans.
In fact, yes, Sai Bhajans in many ways is the culmination of all the efforts that saints like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Tukaram and all of them had put. And finally, it needed God to come and establish, saying that this is the epitome, this is the climax of the bhakti movement, and that is what has given us this Sai Bhajans. What is the uniqueness of Sai Bhajans?
Speaking about the uniqueness of Sai Bhajans, why it's so special. You take any type of music or any genre of music, it's there in Sai Bhajans. Whichever kind of or style of music that you talk about, all those rivers finally converge in Sai Bhajans. We'll give an example. For example, Western classical.
Shambho Mahadeva, Shiva Shambho Mahadeva.
It's a very chord based song, it's a very Western kind of, right? So you have Western classical music which expresses itself through Sai Bhajans. You obviously have Carnatic Bhajans.
Sambasada Shiva Saishwaraya.
You know, you have Carnatic music also coming.
Yeah, very true. And then in the Hindustani genre of music, you will have
Hey Vishwanath, Hey Gaurinath, Hey Sainath Bhagavan.
And what about ghazal? Does ghazal also find its expression?
Yeah, there's mix of ghazal kind of singing.
Madhava Mohan Shama Murari Radha Vallabha Hridaya Vihari Radha Vallabha Hridaya Vihari Madhava Mohan Shama Murari.
Thanks for that Hariharan touch over there.
Yeah. Then light.
Yeah, we have even light. So, all these are a little complicated. We have even light bhajans, extremely light bhajans, like
Shambho Mahadeva, Shiva Shambho Mahadeva.
Very simple. Simple. You just take any kind of genre of music that is available in the world today. It has the power to express itself through Sai Bhajan. It was almost like Swami saying, pick up any instrument, be whatever you want, just put my name into that and you can offer it to me. And that is why we say it is a culmination of the climax of the bhakti movement, of the Sangeet bhakti movement, this is bhakti sampradaya.
So that was Ravi, Amay and Siddhartha sharing with us about how Sai Bhajan music is so unique and how it is the pinnacle of all forms of devotional music. They shared this during the National Bhajan Workshop held in Bangalore in June 2013. And with that, dear listeners, we have reached the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed it. Please do share your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background music was done by another alumnus, T.S. Ramakrishnan from Chennai. With hearts full of love and gratitude, we place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our beloved Master, Bhagwan Baba.
So with this, it's time to draw the curtains on this segment of Thursday Live from the studios. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and my colleagues Prem and Sai Prakash are waiting to take over for our next segment based on Bhagwan's discourses, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. And I will be back after this program in an hour, and we will have our next episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today we will dwell a little on this day, Eid al-Fitr, the last culminating day of the month of Ramadan. We will hear how Bhagwan has given the experience of unity in divinity. We will listen to the stories of two devotees from Russia. And after that, we will also listen to the second part of the conversation with Dr. Narendranath Reddy, the chairman of the International Sai Organization. So that is coming up 1 hour from now. For the present, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Thank you. Sai Ram.